We're talking about Ralph Turner, his amazing level of curiosity.
Yes, yes. Curious about a wide variety of things. And then, of course, because of his intense interest, when he found something he got interested in, he dove into it. So his curiosity led to a development of knowledge. He also read a lot, and I like that because I read a lot also. And he had a very impressive library, some of which is in the chemistry building and will stay even after I leave. For the next person to caretake it, I want the students to be able to delve through that stuff. And so he was very widely read. The Sherlock Holmes thing is just a perfect example of what I mean about him getting interested in a topic, in something, and then becoming an expert in it. And he truly was an expert in that. One of the Baker Street Irregulars. And,
yep.
And just got very involved in it. And he must have driven Arnella crazy with all of his involvements in something that he just couldn't dabble in it. He had to dive into it. You know, he became an expert in Frank Lloyd Wright. And I learned a lot about Frank Lloyd Wright just from talking to Ralph about Frank Lloyd Wright, you know. We just visited one of his homes or museums in Scottsdale, Arizona. He's got a...
Right, Taliesin West.
Taliesin, yeah. We visited that. My daughter lives there now. So we were visiting that and couldn't go in there without thinking of Ralph. That was my first exposure to anything Frank Lloyd Wright.
Well, of course, his own house is a monument to his interest in architecture and Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yeah, yeah. He had such wide-ranging interest, it was astounding to me how a person could find the time to delve into those things. But he was a quick study and he was smart, and you know, you can do that.
Yeah. I guess the question I have is, looking back on it, how would you say how would you say your involvement with Ralph has influenced your career?
I think it, in many ways it's made my career. When I came here, I had 3 years crime laboratory experience and 3 years teaching experience, and I was teaching forensic science and analytical chemistry. And that's not very much experience. And I was doing some casework, and I had testified in court a lot. So I had that aspect of it. But I had really no what I would call unifying sort of philosophy about what forensic science education ought to be and what I ought to be, I mean, outside of educating students, what I really ought to be doing and how to integrate all of this and how to think about all of this. Because forensic science is not just science in a laboratory. It's a very wide-ranging field. Has a lot of aspects that are just as important outside the lab in the courtroom as in it. And this huge public interest in it today is, to me, testament to that. There's really something to this. Ralph, of course, had been in this field for 40 years when I got here. And I learned so much from him about not so much the teaching in forensic science. I mean, my background in chemistry and forensic chemistry was a lot stronger than his. His education, formal education, had stopped years and years and years ago. And so his teaching was a lot of what he taught was based on his own experiences rather than book learning and analytical chemistry and the like. I didn't need that from Ralph, didn't seek it, and he didn't provide it. What I wanted from Ralph and what I was able to get is how you perceive forensic science beyond being a science. It's too easy for people who are trained in chemistry just to think of this as applied chemistry and not to worry about the rest of the stuff. And there's too many people who get into forensic science education who have just that mindset. And that doesn't do it in this field. If you're going to properly educate students for a crime laboratory, they have to know something about history, about ethics, about writing, proper speaking, about the law, about human behavior, about psychology. You gotta know a lot about those things. And people who are chemists and think, okay, I can go to the lab and I can analyze this evidence, they don't realize that's only one piece of it. And that's really what I learned from Ralph in the time I knew him. Another thing that I learned was, you know, as a scientist, you're always taught to question things, you know, take things at face value. And that got ingrained in me pretty early in the sciences, but being in the School of Criminal Justice, this is a social science, that was a big adjustment for me, was to come out of chemistry and get into a bunch of sociologists. And I was grateful to have Frank there, or Ralph there, and Frank Horvath, although Frank was a sociologist, he was also interested in forensic science and still is. But it was, I was grateful to have Ralph, because at least he was a chemist like me. But he taught me to question not only the science, but the forensic and the social science parts of this thing, that there's an awful lot that isn't known, or a lot of things that are taken for granted that may not be true about forensic science and how it interacts. And I learned a lot from Ralph about that. I also learned to get interested in places outside my own backyard from Ralph. I mean, he had a wide-ranging international experiences, and from everything I knew, reveled in all of them, even the ones that were difficult.
Yes.
He came out a better person, a smarter person, a more humbled person in some ways, but a changed person from all of his major experiences. And he taught me an appreciation for other people and other cultures, and you can really learn something. And so, you know, I spent time in China teaching. I've been in Taiwan. I spent 3 terms in Australia, including starting programs there. I've been in Europe now. I've really done some traveling that I never thought I would do. And in some ways, he made it comfortable for me to do that because of his experiences. So he had a lot of obvious influences on me as a scientist and as a person. And I think there's also a lot of ones that I can't even verbalize. You mm-hmm. know? Just knowing him for must be more than 10 years. Just gave me a different perspective on things. He was a one-of-a-kind person, no question.
I would agree with that. Changing just a little bit, you're now leaving MSU after 24 years. How would you like to reflect on your experiences here at MSU and what they've been like?
Well, I've been telling people the reasons, I think it's important to know the reasons I'm leaving. I'm not being pushed out, I'm being pulled. I was not looking for a job when I got into this thing in Indianapolis. When I was teaching at Metropolitan State College, I had a dean, Stan Sunderworth, who left shortly after I did and went to Indiana and been rattling around Indiana and is now an organic chemistry professor at Indiana University, Purdue University in Columbia, Indiana. And he and I have been kept in contact over the years. And when this program started up there, he sent me the proposal, and he gave me their names and gave them my names, and he told me, you really need to look into this. This looks like a really good program. And ultimately, I got contacted, and I went down there and interviewed. And so it was his contact that got me into it. And turns out the chair of the chemistry department at Metropolitan State College when I was there is now the chancellor of the Indiana University campus in Fort Wayne. So small world. I wasn't looking for a job. I believe that I am absolutely and unalterably convinced that I would not be where I am today, that whatever accomplishments I've been able to make to this field, I would not have done if it weren't for Michigan State University. The cachet of this place, the name of this place, the resources here, human and otherwise, the people, the research, everything about this university has given me the opportunities and resources that I've needed to blossom here. There's no way that I could have stayed where I was in Denver or gone hardly any other place and gotten the kinds of help and push and things that I've needed here. And you really have to get away from this place and look back at it and to see what a great university this is. The chairman of the search committee at IUPUI, who sort of took me around for 2 days, is a plant biologist. He told me that, you know, Mecca for plant biology research, absolute paradise is this place right here. One of the other guys on the search committee is a psychologist who has his PhD here from psychology and said he loved it here. His whole career is made here at this place. And I really believe that. So right from the very start, and frankly, Michigan State really wanted me to stay. The college, the department, they made extremely generous counteroffer, but it was not the money that was the issue. It was, I turned 58 last week, or a couple weeks ago. I feel like I wanted to change a different environment and a different kind of challenge than the ones I have here. You never stop accomplishing things. I could have accomplished more here, but I felt like this was a point where I could take on a new challenge. There are no forensic science programs in Indiana at all, and so this would be the first one. And it's a very multidisciplinary program. And it's a very interesting campus run by two 800-pound gorillas, Indiana and Purdue on either
right.
side of it. So it was that. It was being sort of pulled towards new challenges and a new environment and not being pushed at all. I'm always going to be a Spartan. I mean, that's what the bottom line is.
Good. How do you see, do you have any ideas what's going to happen? Is your projections is what you think will happen here as far as with the forensic science program?
Well, yes, I have some ideas. I'm taking a leave of absence for 1 year from here because I'm eligible to retire August 1st of 2005, and this will give me the months I need to do that. And so I'll be on staff next year, except my office will be 200 miles away. And I've renounced my claim on the position so that they could replace me this year instead of having to wait till I get off of leave of absence. So they are going to advertise, like, beginning of the fall, try to bring somebody on as soon as January to replace me. And there's two different directions they can go. And one is to try to hire an experienced person who can direct the program and teach forensic chemistry. Forensic chemistry is their biggest priority. That's what they're missing now. The other way is to hire a newly minted forensic chemist and then have Ed McGarrell or somebody else sort of run the program. You know, that part of the program that I was doing was handling budgets and supervising people, and anybody can do that. It's the forensic chemistry and the research and the students and the mentoring that needs to be there. And so they are committed to hiring somebody and keeping the program going. I don't have a monopoly on ideas, of course. Nobody does. And so I'm hoping that they'll get somebody who has a fresh set of perspectives on it. We were able to hire a forensic biologist 2 years ago, Dave Ferran. And so he's got labs in Giltner, and he's all set up and running state-of-the-art labs in biology. And then, of course, we have Norm Sauer and Todd Fenton in anthropology who are running that piece of it. And so forensic chemistry is the other major piece. And this is the only university in the country that has those three tracks in forensic science. And a student goes through the program now in one of those three tracks. And so we need a forensic chemist, obviously. And I'm going to stay active in mentoring the students that are here already that I recruited in forensic chemistry, in helping them finish up their masters. I'll come back and chair oral committees and the like. And I will have some say, although I won't be on a search committee, I'll have some say in the new person. I'll probably know everybody who applies or who they work for.
Yep.
So I can provide some vetting of the applicants. So I'm sort of going to be walking a tightrope between being on leave of absence and sort of staying involved and at the same time cutting the ties. That's difficult to do. I know Ralph had difficulty doing that when he retired. And he and I talked a lot, as I said, and we were together a lot. And part of it was his desire to stay involved. And he was on the advisory committee, and he came to the advisory committee meetings. And more than that, I met with him weekly for a long time. I didn't want him to feel like he was being pushed out. I was taking over. At the same time, he said, this is your program. You do what you think is best with it. And I said I would, but your input would always be requested, and you have to be mindful of the legacy. You can't just take something and run off in some other direction. You got to build on what's there. And Ralph ran this program for 34 years, for God's sakes. You know, you just don't take that and discard it. So we upgraded the lab facilities, maybe upgraded the science in the program, but not the forensic science. And I would hope that the department, when they hire a replacement and in the future directions of the program, would keep my legacy and my efforts in mind, but also Ralph's, because that's the foundations of the program. This is a pyramid.
Yep.
The foundation is Ralph Turner, and I'm the next building block. And it's interesting to me that there have been only two directors of this program has been going on, you know, over 50 years, and there's only been two people that have shepherded it. So
pretty amazing.
It is amazing, and it's important that they recognize that. And I think Ed McGarrell will. He's been a great guy to work for. And I think he will recognize the importance of building on what's already there.
Well, that's good. Great. Any other comments you'd like to make at this time?
No, I think what you're doing here is not only a great idea, but really necessary. I think it's important for people like Ralph to be immortalized in ways other than just his archives, because he was a pioneer, and there's nobody like that anymore. You know, he's just—he's a one of a kind. He's just not just another person. He was a very influential person, and I think it's important that people understand that and learn about him, because he's got a lot of things to say still about forensic science and about living in general.
Well, Jay, thank you very much for doing this. Oh, I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Gee, any contribution I can make to this is just great. It's time well spent as far as I'm concerned.
Well, thank you, and I may be back with asking you more questions.
I'll be around, and my email address will carry through anyway for at least a year, so you got to get a hold of me. And I will be back.
Well, good. Well, thank you, Jay.
Okay, sure. Thank you. Thanks a lot.